This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, it's number 3,000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line, it may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this Thursday edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, brought to you by our good friends at the Innovated Companies, InnovatedCompanies.com, the construction team, heating and cooling team, the electric team. And now, I just found out yesterday, got a call from my good friend Randy and Stephanie both, that the plumbing division is up and running now. They can take care of everything now. One-stop shop for any of your construction needs, residential, commercial, or industrial. 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman, fully licensed, bonded, insured, our good friends, Randy and Stephanie Green at InnovatedCompanies.com. Steve, you probably need a good plumber.
Huh. There's a joke in there somewhere.
There is a joke in
there's
there somewhere.
There's a joke. You don't want to tee that up to me, bro.
Hey, easy, bro. Hey, as we come to you from the patio studios, I want to remind everybody that today being Thursday, the Cardinals back home tomorrow. That means one thing. For home games on Fridays, we're going to be at patios from 12 to 2 live, doing our Facebook Live broadcast. And, of course, the guy that everybody wants to come and hear from and meet and register to win the autographed Yachty and Benji Molina stuff, tickets, things of that nature, is our good friend on the M4byYachty.com hotline, Benji Molina. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys? I'm ready to go, man. I'm ready to go. Our cards are looking good.
What time are you getting in tonight?
Around 8:30, so please, people, don't be plugging the whole airport. I got to go get my rental car. So, you know, if you can stay away from my way, you know, on the airport. Last time, it was like close to a million people there at the airport.
The stalkerazzi.
So, you know.
Hey, you don't have to go to the airport. You don't have to go to airport get Benji Molina's autograph. Come out to patios tomorrow from 12 to 2, and he'll sign. And so will I.
Nobody wants your autograph.
They want my autograph, babe.
They don't want yours. They don't want anything.
They want my selfie, man. What are you talking about?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm here to tell you, boys, I'm excited about tomorrow. Again, I just, like I said, I can't reiterate enough. You have to be present to win these autographed items from Yachty and Benji both. You have to show up to register for the green seats drawing that we're doing. If you want four green seats to a future game, we're going to be giving those away as well. And, of course, to be a part of the show, we're going to be asking questions, talking to people, chit-chatting a little bit, finding a way to get you guys involved in the show as much as you'd like to be. And, again, we're looking forward to it as we always come to you from the patio studios. But, again, Friday home games, we are live at patio. So excited to have everybody be a part of that. Come on out. I know our good friend Josh will be there from Arch City Media, invited out some other people. So, again, should be a great time. Looking
grab some lunch
to
there.
Yeah, that lunch. There'll be, you know, the lunch crowd will be there. Hey. Cardinals are playing well. Hopefully we get a win today at Wrigley, even though it's going to be a little chilly again, but they're going to get the game in, it looks like. And again, by the time this show comes out, we'll probably have a W or an L. But either way, I think, you know, things have been going well. I was happy with the performance in Chicago the first night. Obviously cold. But the question on everybody's mind was, how do we go into Chicago and how do we win with Adam Wainwright on the mound, when everybody was ready to cut him, everybody was ready to get rid of him. Hey, listen, we questioned, you know, does he have anything left? Could you have been more impressed with Waino going into Wrigley and performing the way he did? Benji, I'll start with you.
Oh, man, I was really impressed. And you know what? That's called, that score that's called a veteran heart, a really, really good heart. Waino is a competitor, man. Don't think because Waino is, you know, obviously at the down of his career, going down and whatever, and everybody wants to put him out already. But, man, I wasn't surprised he did that, though, by the way. I wasn't. You know, he's always been that guy for us. He's always been that heart guy, the veteran guy, the presence on the mound guy. And to see him perform the way he did, man, it just got me chills, man. I really wanted him to do well. I really do want him to do good, because by him doing good, the other guys become better, man. I bet you anything.
You know, the funny thing is Father Time gets everybody. And, you know, unfortunately, you're only going to hear from the people that got it right. You know, so if Wainwright goes, I mean, it would be great that, Wainwright would be a 20-game winner and then, you know, walk away and not have anything left in the tank, right? That's what everybody wants. But unfortunately, that just doesn't happen. So even if he comes back the following year after 20, you know, and he doesn't do so good, everybody's going to bitch, oh, man, he should have walked away. If he walks away, everybody's going to bitch and say, boy, if we had Waino out there this year, man, he's good for it. He won 20 last year. He's good for at least 12 or 13, even a broken down one. So
I know it's a no win, no win.
It's no win, no win, no matter what. So, I mean, look at the Denver Broncos are saying that. They win a world championship in football. Peyton Manning walks away, right? Oh, boy, if we had him back, we'd have made playoffs again. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. Nobody knows. So
you can have that, man. I think Waino, I think he's on the downside, of course. I mean, we're not
blind.
We don't know.
Right.
Yeah, we're not blind, but I never question his heart. I never question anything. And let me tell you guys, to go to Chicago and be cold as heck as it was, be cold. You saw the guys hitting. They didn't want to even touch the ball. That's how cold it was. And these guys, I mean, battled their butts in Chicago. And then Waino throwing five innings the way he did. I mean, that was pretty impressed. I was pretty impressed with our team. I tell you what, and they show heart. They show that they could do it. They show they can play ball together. They're having fun. I mean, I'm excited, man. I really am after that game in Chicago.
There is something to be said about a swagger and having a little fun. And I think a lot of social media has seen, you know, some of the videos that have been posted, you know, the locker room, the celebrations, the, you know, we're feeling good as a team. And that's good to see because, from an athlete's position, there's a lot to be said when you have confidence when it comes down to wins and losses, you know?
Yes, it's very important, Steve-O. It's very important to have the clubhouse the way they have it, where everybody gets along and everybody's fighting for one thing, and that's the W. It's very important.
Well, that was good to see that, right, Jim?
Well, I can tell you this. I was, I've said all along that the whole Wainwright thing makes, you know, it makes zero sense for us to think that they're just going to dump the guy. They're not going to do it. I'm not even going to waste my breath bringing it up like they should do it, because they're not going to. So let's just move past it and say, okay, let's root for the guy, right? It's hard not to root for him. And I think every fan gets that, right? Like, I think every fan gets that. But I also think that they do. I think the issue is, and I'm going to defend fans a little bit here. I think the issue for fans is there's a little bit of frustration because of the last two seasons, okay? It's not, and again, I think with Waino, people are willing to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt and want to say, well, I mean, he's just physically not able to be Waino, right? It's not like he, you know, like you don't want to say your hero stinks, right? So now you find an excuse, and it's probably true. You know, he's beat up, whatever. But at the end of the day, they're not going to dump him off, so let's support him. And the reality of it is I thought he did a great job. I really did. I thought it was the best he's pitched this year for sure. You know,
in those circumstances.
Yeah, and let's face it, they were circumstances. I mean, let's face it, I'm tired of reading about in the paper how, you know, Joe Maddon and the Cubs think that the Brewers are their biggest fight and all this kind of stuff. You know what? I hell with all of that. We're here to just play baseball. Let's play baseball. I like it. I like what we're doing here. Do I think it's perfect? No, I don't know that it's ever perfect. I mean, but I can look at that game from start to finish. You know, I thought the bases loaded situation was going to come back to haunt us. It didn't, thank goodness. You know, I got to tell you, getting a, it was a team effort, I thought. Good team game. You like those.
I like what they're looking for walks there in that situation.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Huh? They get 9 walks.
Yeah, well.
Who's bitching about that now? Nobody bitches about it when you get the win.
What do you, I don't understand where you're going with that.
They got a bunch of walks the other day.
Well, I mean, right? Looking.
So where's all the bitching about the walks when you win? Winning cures everything, folks. I don't care if you're terrible. If you win, everything's great in the world. If you're great and you lose, everything's bad. Winning cures everything. Sir. So, you know, my whole stance from everything, and I know that's not what we get paid to do. We get paid to have opinions. My whole stance is, hey, it's laid out. Let it play out. See what's going
to
happen.
I'll agree with you to some degree, but are you going to tell me that you like that approach?
When you're winning, you love that approach. When you get 9 walks in a game, you love that approach.
And you're winning.
If you got 9 walks and lost, then we go, Mabry's a terrible hitting coach. He can't teach these guys to hit, right? Which we saw that all over Twitter and Facebook, all right? If Matheny makes a move and the guy comes in and he shuts it down and gets a 5-out save, Norris gets a 5-out save, Matheny's, man. No complaint there.
Oh, no, they complained.
Did they complain?
Because he brought Holland in with a 4-run lead. Yeah. They complained.
Well, you got to get the guy some work. But, hey, if Norris would have given it up on a home run, it would have been Matheny's the worst ever. He does not know how to manage. It comes down to the players. So we can't win the argument because somebody else has a different opinion out there. Always.
I would agree. I'm not even sure it's an argument at this point. I mean, it is what it is. I look at it this way. Things are changing for the Cardinals. We now have a 7-man bullpen. I was on social media yesterday. I have people out there advocating for a 6-man rotation. I'm with Kevin Wheeler on this one. I mean, the bottom line is I'm not going to give my top couples. I mean, people are like, well, we could keep Martinez on 5 days rest and then rotate the other guys. Listen, if a guy's that good that you want to get him into the rotation and the other 5 are great, well, then maybe we can talk about it. But I don't think that's the case here. The bottom line is if the other guy's better than somebody you have in there, I think the issue is that at first I think everybody assumed it was Wainwright. It might just be Michael Wacha.
Right.
So we'll have to see how this plays out. I'm not a fan of a 6-man rotation.
I don't think they should go to 6.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it.
Well, no,
I never believe in that. I never believe in that. I think the 5-men give you an extra guy in the bullpen, and that's what I believe.
And I think most people agree. I think what they're looking for instead of a different way to phrase it is, okay, let's assume we have Wacha or Waino or both that only go for any particular time. Who's your long guy? You know, who's that guy who, in essence, might be a second starter? And we've kind of joked around about when are they going to go to a 10-man rotation. 5 guys go through the first two rounds of the hitters.
We talked about why you can't do that.
Well, I mean, you could.
No, you couldn't.
You could.
No, because then it would be 10-year-old baseball. Your guy goes out there and pitches even if he sucks. He's got to pitch 4 or 5 innings, even if he stinks. You can't do that.
Sure you can. You can take him out and have the next guy go 6 instead of 4.
And what if he stinks?
Well, then you just chalk up the loss. You got 162 games.
So and typically when a guy stinks, he throws a lot of pitches. So this doesn't work.
The whole problem with
the 6-man rotation too. It doesn't work.
It used to be a 4-man rotation. They used to have 8-minute abs, and then I came out with the 7-minute abs. I'm not worried about.
But you don't have any abs. So it didn't work.
What happens when the guy invents the 6-minute ab? Oh, it can't be done. You can't do ab work.
Well, the 7-minute abs doesn't work.
Name the movie.
I don't know, but 8-minute abs doesn't work either.
Something about Mary.
Okay.
But anyway.
Hey, the better is the 4-man rotation is way better because you have more guys in the bullpen. That's just the way it is, I think. Instead of going 6, go 4. And then let me tell you guys, if we have 2 guys in our rotation that cannot go past 4 or 5 innings every single time after, we will have trouble later on. Just remember that.
Yeah, quite possibly, but you're looking at – you're starting to fill in those positions. You might have that bullpen locked down where you can get – you're expecting just to get 5 out of your starters. and you can get to four. Now I get it, BMO. Later in the year, that's going to wear them down, but that's not going to be every time out.
Unless you flip them, you know what I mean? Like, unless you flip the guys and you bring new guys in and new guys out all year, you keep them fresh for the end. You know what I'm saying? The young guys.
Well, and that's
like
what.
Yeah, or Hicks or these young guys, you send them down, send them up, send them down, send them up. You'll be fine at the end. But, man, four innings and five innings every single time out there. Oh, man, I don't even want to think about it. That's hard, man.
The number one thing that seems to always wear on a team is when starters can't give you six innings. It just seems to wear on you. I mean, we live in a day and age where, let's face it, we live in a day and age where people want you to take out a starter that's doing really well. He can be doing great. And when he gets to the third time in the order, take him out.
Yeah.
Because the numbers say that he's going to get rocked here, even though he's pitched really well. That's what people want.
I don't believe in that.
That's what people want, right? That's what they want.
That's where the game might be going. And we don't know, but that's where it might be going.
I know. That's what we are right now.
Yeah.
I know, that's what
they taking Justin Verlander out after he goes through the lineup twice right now? I mean, God, this guy is dominating.
He's dealing, isn't he?
Some of these guys, too.
Take Churcher out.
Yeah, they ain't taking him out.
I just know that things will continue to change in baseball, just like we're seeing it, unless they make up some rules like we talked about with the shift or the whatever it is. I mean, things are always going to change and adapt to how the game's being played. So,
add one more guy in the roster in the big leagues. You watch. That's what's going to come down to.
Going to go to 26. Hey, I'll say this. Well, yeah, but see, that's the thing. I don't think they do. And here's why. Let me tell you why I don't think they do. No, I cannot believe how outspoken Manfred's been about his loathe for relief pitchers.
Yeah.
He just came right out and said, I understand what they do. The problem is they're all really, really good at what they do, and they're ruining our game. I mean, he came out and said that. That is verbatim. Okay, he said that.
Yeah, Jim.
But why are they ruining the game?
Because he wants more offense. He wants more offense. He wants the game to be more. That's it.
It's called adaptation.
Well, hang on.
But he wants more offense, but they forget about winning games. I want wins. If it is pitching, it's pitching. If it is hitting, it's hitting. I just want wins. I just want to win more than 95 games in a year. More than 90 games, actually, give me a good shot.
Well,
that's what I want.
And what's interesting is I can't think of one thing he's about that I like. And I'm not saying I like this, but I do understand his point. His point is, and again, and you've already brought this up on the show today, Steve, things change over time. We adapt. You know, now we got 5-minute abs or whatever. By the end of the show, it'll be 3-minute abs. But the truth of the matter is this, okay? You have a lot of guys back in the day, quote unquote, that hit off a starter that didn't have much left, because
correct,
that's just the way it was. And that doesn't happen today.
Right.
You know?
Hey, you know what you never hear? I won't say you never hear it anymore. You don't hear the guys going out there saying, boy, if we just get into their bullpen, we might be set.
Yeah, you don't hear that anymore unless the team's bullpen's awful. But how many are awful anymore?
Exactly. So, hey, my point is that the top of the trees thought they were safe until the giraffe adapted, right? So there's always going to be an adaption to the game to ultimately get the win. I understand what Manfred's saying by saying it's ruining the game, but it's not. It's ruining some of the excitement of what it was.
It's ruined the outside of the game, maybe fan view or something, or I don't know. But it ain't ruined if you get the Cardinals to win 95 games through pitching. It ain't ruined the Cardinals,
right? Whoever wins, the game's going to be just fine.
Well, yeah. The one statement you've said is winning does cure all ills. But for one night, for sure, at least for one night, and I don't think he's been that bad, our friend Adam Wainwright turned back the clock. Friend of the show turned back the clock and stuck it to the Chicago Cubs in Wrigley, which there's nothing better than that, by the way. I'm sorry. That's my favorite. Got to win in Wrigley. Love it. Cubs fans hate it. That makes me happy. We're going to touch a little bit on Waino. Obviously, we've got some news with the roster to discuss. Some changes going on. Some fans are happy. Fans can't be completely happy all the time. They got to find something. Well, I'll talk to you about what they're complaining about today before the Cubs game. Want to remind everybody, check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. It's where you can find this podcast if that's how you choose to listen to it. But, of course, the things that you can mainly do there, subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free. Happy to have you guys be a part of our network. Do your shopping at Amazon. Most people are doing shopping at Amazon. If you did it through twobirdsonabat.com, click the Amazon banner down on the right on your computer, scroll down on your mobile device. Doesn't cost you anything. Once you touch it, you're done with us. You go to Amazon. We get a very small referral, helps us with production costs. We would appreciate it greatly. Special thanks to everybody and their support for our show on social media. Twitter is where we start, at Birds on a Bat Show. Our ask would be that you find us on Twitter, like our Twitter page. If you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to like you back. Facebook is a big push for us right now. Thanks to everybody. We've picked up a lot of Facebook followers in the last few days with something we're doing now. Look for a promotion coming out soon from us here at Two Birds on a Bat. If you want to learn more about it, you're going to have to follow us on Facebook to be eligible to win some of these prizes. So find us, Two Birds on a Bat. You simply type in Two Birds on a Bat when the search bar on Facebook, like our Facebook page. We're going to ask you to click invite your friends. Once your friends list comes up, you know who likes the Cardinals, guys. If you're a Cardinal fan, chances are your friends are too. Click invite next to their name and ask them to join our group as well.
And it's super easy now because you can click invite all.
Yes, you can.
They changed that. They didn't used to do that. You had to go through individually.
So now you don't have to do that.
Exactly.
Just invite all. If they're a Cardinal fan, they'll accept. So that's a good point, Steve-O. Thank you. We do have the new group, Birds on a Bat. It's a Facebook group. If you want to be a part of that, you got to be a Cardinal fan to join. Just click that you'd like to join. We'll make sure you're a Cardinal fan. If you are, boom, you're in. Happy to have you part of that as well. Of course, our friends at lineupmedia.fm, home of the latest internet radio sensation, Yo Radio, continue to support us, and we thank them. Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, our producers, they do all the work behind the scenes. Darren Yates, who is our part-time producer, we thank him for all of his input and all of his help on the show as well. Okay, guys, moving on.
One quick shout-out.
Okay. Hang on. Steve-O's got a shout-out. Hit it.
And this might come off wrong.
Okay.
But shout out to the Cubs fans, 35,000 strong the other night, show up for that weather. That was impressive.
That was impressive.
35,000 strong.
Okay. All right. I hear you talking. Benji, what do you got for us?
Oh, no. I got into our page in Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook.
Yep.
And I tried to invite friends to like our page, but it doesn't say invite all, man. Where'd you see that?
Okay, so you simply type in twobirdsonabat.com, and when you get to Two Birds on a Bat, over to your right.
Yep.
Okay. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, internet's not working worth a darn today.
Well, anyways, you can tell me later. That's
Yeah. We'll tell you later. You click invite your friends. When it pops up, you'll see it. We'll show it when you're in town, but it's pretty simple to do. I've invited all my friends already. It's not even available online. Okay, so moving on. So today at Wrigley Field, we have some changes in the roster. Okay, changes in the roster. Tyler O'Neill, the Hulk in red. He's in red, not green. So
I'm
when he gets angry, he's
that.
In red. This kid is big, strong, and, man, he's been mashing the baseball. Cardinals say that they were, not mad at him, but they were really upset they didn't get a better look at him because of some injuries in spring training. They call him up today. They bring him up and send a bullpen arm down. So now the argument, Cardinals fans have been upset that we've had an 8-man bullpen. We never used the last guy in the bullpen. Blah, blah, blah. So now he's gone. So no more complaint about that, although now they're going to complain about who went down and who should have went down. That's fine. But Tyler O'Neill is here mainly probably because Tommy Pham's dealing with a groin issue. We're going to deal with social media is going to freak out because Tommy Pham said he was fine and he could play today. So now obviously Mike's an idiot for making sure that up there in the cold weather he takes another day. They start Harrison Bader in center field over Tyler O'Neill. That's going to be another source of contention on social media. How in the world can you bring this kid up and not play him right away? I kind of get it. I'm going to put Harrison Bader in center field at Wrigley Field today with John Lester pitching against us. our guy pitching, Luke Weaver, who's been great. I'm looking for defense today in center field. What's Harrison Bader really done that you would say that he's a bad choice as well? There's no rule saying that Tyler O'Neill's got to play. So I'm okay with it. We'll see what happens. But, I'd be interested to see what happens. This is an interesting thing because of what his skill set is. I had just mentioned on a show a week ago, what do we not have? We have no pop on the bench. Well, that's some pop.
Yeah. I think it's a good move sitting him. He's going to have enough stress basically coming up and, you know, and getting through the motion of being the call-up and everything like that. Sit him. Let him sit a game. If you want to start him tomorrow at home.
Against the Reds.
Against
warmer
the Reds.
Weather,
warmer weather. I'm fine with that.
Instead of starting him against John Lester.
But I do have some breaking news for you.
Uh-oh.
I talked to a guy yesterday who was friends with a guy in college who says his best friend, his wife, knows the trainer of the Seattle Mariners AAA team and said, this guy's a beast. This O'Neill kid is a beast.
You lost me. I felt like I was reading Genesis in the Bible. You lost me.
It was a long story. But breaking news.
I don't need somebody's cousin's brother's sister to tell me he's a beast. Just look at him. He looks like the Hulk in red.
He looks like me in here, bud.
He looks like you. Benji.
He looked like me 5 years ago.
Yeah. Hey.
I wish we had him 5 years ago.
You have any problem with him not playing today? I actually think playing Harrison Bader in center field today is the play if they're going to give Tommy a day to make sure he doesn't re-aggravate or injure. I expect Tommy Pham to say, yeah, I want to play. No different than I would expect Yachty to say, I want to play. I get it. So whatever, I'm past it. I don't really give a shit. I'm moved on to the fact that I'm okay with Harrison Bader playing center field today with Luke Weaver on the mound. What are your thoughts?
I'm okay with it. I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't see why. I mean, I know the kid is, it's a beast down there. We all seen it. A lot of kids play great in AAA. They have good stuff, and they show you that they can play. But when they come up to the big leagues, a different ball game. You know what? More, I'm more excited about one tweet that you put yesterday, Jimbo, and it was about that you were excited to see him hit big league pitching. That's what I'm more excited about. It's one thing hitting against a AAA guy or something like that and having a great season. You want that from your prospects. You want that. I want that. I get excited. But once you get in here in the big leagues and all of a sudden you face big league pitching, it might be a little different. So what are we going to say then? So I'm excited. I want to see him face major league pitching and see what he can do. Now, if he keeps going with the big league pitching and he keeps going, he's going to be special. He's going to be a special kid, and we're going to have to find a way, you know? That's all it is.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right.
You got to wait.
You beat up the AAA pitching. I think the stat was between, I don't know, last 2 years, whatever he is, he's on a run rate of 150 some odd games or 160 some odd games. So almost a full season, 500, almost 600 at bats and 41 jacks, 125 RBIs. So obviously at the AAA level, if you're looking for, hey, I've proved what I needed to prove at that level, now it's time to see what I do at the major league level. I think you're exactly right, Bimo. I think that this is the time where hopefully you get a look at him for a couple of days. Hopefully it's nothing serious with Pham is probably first and foremost. But if we can get a look at him for a couple of days, see how he adapts to a big league club, which is complete. And maybe you can talk a little bit about this. Completely different atmosphere at the big league level than it is, you know, double, AAA in the minors. But what is he going through on a call-up like this? Coming from Memphis up to Chicago, it's a rivalry game. What do you think's going through his emotional roller coaster right now?
Well, right now, first of all, he's so excited. He wants to get in no matter what, no matter who's pitching, no matter if it's a Cy Young or whoever. He wants to get in because obviously he's excited about it. He's in the big leagues. He wants to do this. He wants to make sure that he prove himself. Now, the other side of the coin is he's going to have a lot of pressure. You know, all the questions are going to be about his hitting. Oh, what are you going to bring here? Oh, you're going to face this. They're saying you struck out a lot. You're doing this. You're doing that. All that pressure that builds up to the day you play, man, it's going to wear out on him. Or it don't do anything to him. You know, he's a great, strong guy mentally, and he's great. He doesn't have any trouble, and he does well. You don't know. We don't know. That's what I said. I'm most excited to see him pitch, hit against pitching that's a higher level, man. And if he does well, maybe this kid is special for real. I mean, maybe he is. Who knows? But we haven't seen it yet.
You know, my big thing would be, I talk about this all the time, it takes a special talented player to be able to play off the bench. Not everybody can do it. Not everybody, you know, I think it starts with, I mean, I would say, listen, if you ask any of them, they'd like to be a starter, but it takes a smart mentality. If he can provide power off the bench, okay, that's a big thing that this club's missing.
But listen, remember what we said about some guys when they're hitting in AAA, they're hitting 270 and they think they belong up here? Remember those conversations?
Right.
When everybody thinks, oh, man, he's done enough over there. He got 15 home runs. He got 270 average. And he has like 40 RBI, 50 RBIs. And you think you belong here? Well, we don't have that problem with this kid. Steve-O just said all his numbers in AAA. I mean, this kid has proven. Now, you want to talk about a guy that maybe deserves to be up here? He had nothing to prove in the minor league? This is one of them. This is one of the kids that you say, man, he got nothing to prove. But don't come up to us and say, oh, this guy got nothing to prove in the minor leagues and blah, blah, blah. And then he's hitting 270. And then he got 50 RBIs. And then he got 15 home runs. You know what I'm saying? You remember those conversations we had?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this is a
Now, this is a kid that needs to say, I got nothing to prove. I did it all. Come on, let's go. This is my chance.
Right. And, Jim, you bring up an interesting point, which is going to differ than the Carson Kelly situation, where I think we are all in agreement that the best thing for Carson Kelly is to continue at the AAA level and be down there and so he can play every day. So here's where it differentiates with a Tyler O'Neill. If he comes to the big leagues and rakes, but yet he might not be able to get into the starting lineup every day, is that he actually has an asset if he's able to come off the bench, and that's where management has to look at it and say, now what's best for the big league club as compared to what's best for today, what's best for the club today as compared to what's best for the club's future? Because today, if this guy has the power, it might be better for him to play every 4-5 days as a start, but come off the bench in those big situations.
Well, and I will say this.
Who gave us the best opportunity to win?
Yeah, and the thing is, the difference is, listen, the difference all along with Carson Kelly wasn't that Carson Kelly was an awful player. Like I said, he's going to need to hit better for sure. Who knows if he's going to hit at the major league level? Guess what? It's really hard to hit at the major league level. So who knows? Defensively, I'm sure Kelly has shown in the minors that he's a good defensive catcher, whatever. There's a big difference there, though, and that is this. You're just not going to take Yadi out to play Kelly to develop him at the major league level. You're just not going to do it. And let's face it, I'm sorry, guys. This isn't Tucker Barnhart behind the plate. I don't care if he won a gold glove last year. This isn't one of these other guys. This is Yadi or Molina, okay? And he is not showing any signs of slowing down, folks. And yes, you're going to get him his rest. But if you don't think that Carson Kelly can develop up here in that setting, then don't have him up here. The thing with Tyler O'Neill that I want everybody to remember is there's an opportunity every game for a Tyler O'Neill.
Correct.
Every game. Now, it may be as a pinch hitter in the sixth inning. It may be as a pinch hitter in the eighth inning. It may be to spell a guy and give him a break. Now, the difference between Tyler O'Neill and Harrison Bader is Harrison Bader is a very good defender, can play all three outfield positions. I'm not quite sure Tyler O'Neill is going to give you that defense. I definitely can't see him playing center field. But he brings something, let's face it, that not everybody can do, and that
right.
is he has power. Can he do it at this level? We're going to find out. Is it hard to do it when you're not playing every day? Yes, it's hard.
That's going to be the key.
I don't need Randall Grichuk to tell me that it stinks to not get every day at bats and try to contribute. That's right, but guess what? You're not the only one who deals with it. Most players come up from the minors
every day, and look at what he's doing.
Yeah, well, that's John Mabry's fault. Haven't you been paying attention to Twitter?
But do you know what I mean? You know what
no,
I mean?
No, I agree.
Like,
I agree.
It's really hard to get not play and get at bats and then all of a sudden go out there. It's very hard. It's pinch hit and do this. That's why we have to appreciate Garcia. But Grishuk is playing every day in Toronto. He's not doing well either. So it's not about necessarily having at-bats. He has enough at-bats in Toronto to say, I'm a good player, and look at his numbers.
Him and Carlos Stanton can be put in the same or Giancarlo can be put in the same sentence there. Grichuk,
does that
and
surprise
Stanton.
You?
Wow,
does that surprise you, Steve?
Absolutely dumbfounded by it.
Benji, does now listen? I'm not. I don't. Nobody's cutting Giancarlo Stanton right now. But are you shocked at how this year has started for him?
I am a little. I thought he was going to be better towards the beginning of the year. But it's a new league, and I did this, and it's a really different league. When I went from the American League to the National League, it was a different play game, and it was a different, you know, everything is new. But he's going through a rough time. I mean, let's give this kid time. He's a superstar. He's probably gonna be okay, man. I bet you he'll be fine. He's just going through a hard time right now. I think it's just adjusting to new scenarios and a new league, new fans, because these fans are not Miami. Miami, all those 2,000 fans that go through the game, they're not loud. They're not loud. But all the 55,000 that goes in New York, they boo your crap out of you after your second strikeout. And they get louder after your fifth strikeout. And they start yelling about your mom and your grandma and your thing and your ankle and you got cancer and da-da-da. Oh, man. I mean, it might be affecting him. Who knows? So it's just an adjustment. I think he'll be fine.
Well, you know, again, it's you know, it's still, we're still within the first month of the season. The weather hasn't been kind to anybody. You know, if you're not doing well, you can use the weather as an excuse. If you're doing well, you know, I would say this. If you're one of these guys that started off well in this weather, man, you got to feel like you're going to have a good year. You know?
Yes, sir.
I mean, my goodness gracious. You know, I look at it and I say, holy cow, let's get this moving. But, you know, as far as the Cardinals are concerned, you know, here we are. Day game in Wrigley today, going to be cold. John Lester on the mound. That's another reason I'm okay with Tyler O'Neill not playing today. I would rather him start tomorrow. I would be surprised if maybe you wouldn't see him start tomorrow in the Red Series. You might see him start tomorrow.
I don't care where he start. I tell you the truth. I don't care. I want to see this kid hit. I want to see this kid play. All the hype that's been going on in the media and all the hype that has been going on for him, I don't care. I want to see him play. Even if it's not today, maybe tomorrow, that's okay. But I want to see him play. I want to see what he can do over here, you know. And if he can help us, you imagine if we have a Tyler O'Neill that do what he was doing in AAA. I mean, I know Pham is a great player. Pham is doing great. But I don't know. We're going to have to do something with this kid hitting like this. You know what I'm saying? Maybe this is his year. Maybe he found something. Right. Maybe he did found something, you know?
Would you assume that the Cardinals are looking ahead at today and then this weekend and probably looking for a starter that really fits Tyler, that fits his strengths to give him a chance to succeed in his first big league start? I would make sense for me.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. Did you see that with our team this year or last year or the year before? You never saw that. You saw guys coming in with you're like, what the heck is this guy doing in the freaking lineup? Seriously? You know what I'm saying? We don't see that often. So I don't think they're thinking about who fits well or not, because if you tell me Lester against a righty and you want to have this guy, this is a good guy. Lester throws a lot of strikes. I mean, let these guys get a hold of one and see what we can do over here. That's what I would think, but I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe that's not what they're thinking. I don't think they do that, though.
Man, you're excited about that. Can you hear it in Benji's voice? He's excited about Tyler O'Neill.
You know, I want to expand on that.
Did you see his numbers?
I know. Hey, so, Benji.
Did you see his freaking numbers, man? Come on, man. That's not 270 or 60. 260, that's not five home runs. I mean, a whole year, five home runs or 10. I mean, this kid has shown that he's – I mean, I want to see what he can do. That's all.
Yeah. So here's a question for you. At the big league level, I know this goes back to, you know, freshman high school baseball sometimes, but you get in a 3-2 ball game with a guy on, you know, second base today, late in the game, I mean, at this point, are you looking at, hey, let's see what this guy's made out of. Let's see what his metal is. Test him a little bit and put him into a big spot. Or is that something you're still reserving for, hey, let's get Greg Garcia up there. He seems to be swinging the bat pretty good. How much fire can this guy – what should we expect as a fans that they might do for this guy? I mean, what's your experience with it?
I don't think it's fair for the guy to bring him when the freaking eighth inning is on and you're down one and you need a base hit or you need something to get that guy a tie run. I don't think it's fair for the kid. He probably could try it and do it. I mean, I don't know, but I'm saying if you have a great Garcia that has done it for you for all these long and done well, that would be my first option. I don't care about this O'Neill guy until I have to use him, right? Until he prove himself that he's been doing great. He did great for me. He got a couple RBIs. He's hot. Then I bring him. But if I have my Garcia guy in the bench, that's my first option right now. But it's not fair to the kid to bring him up and try to. It's not fair to Holland to be brought up and without spring training and be brought up with a tie game. Think about it.
Right.
I mean, I know he's paid a lot of money and everything, but it's not fair to the guy to bring him in after he didn't have spring training, man. If that guy had spring training with us, we wouldn't be even have these conversations.
Right.
But anyway, that's another guy.
And that's what I was asking is expectations from a fan's perspective. You know, like I said, it kind of goes back to high school baseball. Sometimes you just want to see what a kid's made of. And so we should not expect him to be in a high leverage situation on his first call up here at all for today. But I'd love to see him get the start tomorrow, Jimbo. I'm with you.
I would. I'd like to see him, you know. My guess would be he's going to get one coming up here. I liked the way they handled it last weekend in Cincinnati with Bader taking turns spelling guys. I thought that was perfect. I like that. You know, especially when guys were scuffling a little bit. I got no complaints right now. A couple goofy things went on, but for the most part, I mean, I got no complaints with, you know.
There's nothing wrong and never will be something wrong with if you're struggling on something on your team and you move your pieces. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing. Not one thing. What's wrong is when you're still struggling, you're still doing the same thing. That's what's wrong.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Has Matheny done a couple things where I've kind of shook? Yeah, but for the most part, I think it's been fine. I haven't seen anything that's got me going, this is stupid or whatever. I mean, we can talk about the whole Carpenter, should he hit leadoff, should he hit third thing. You know, is he hurt, is he not hurt, is he hurting? Those are all speculation things, you know.
You know what Carpenter should do? Hit.
If he hits, everybody shut the hell up.
That's what he needs to do. I don't care if he hits ninth, like you said the other day, or Stebo. Hit the pitcher before him, or somebody did. But hit the pitcher before him. I don't give a crap. This kid can hit, and we need him to hit. I don't care if it's a leadoff guy, second batter. I could care less about any of that. I just want him to start swinging the bat well like he normally does. And that's it. We saw a little sign of him in Chicago with the tough weather, with everything going against everybody. Look, he had a good game, so hopefully he can keep it up like that, right?
Well, let's hope.
Yeah.
Because we need him. You're right. I mean, that's the problem with all – see, in the end, isn't that ultimately the problem? Is we need him. I've said that about Colton Wong for 2 years. I want to love Colton Wong. You know why? Because if Colton Wong could be who we think he is, man, he would help us a ton, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he's a Javi Baez.
That's
who he is.
He could be.
That's what you expect from him. And how electric is that kid?
God, that Cardinal fans hate him, but he is
a good
player. I love him. I can admit when a guy's good.
I love baseball. That's what I love, and you guys do too. So you not appreciating somebody else, I mean, I don't see why it's the big deal, but it's baseball, man. That kid is awesome. That kid can play. We just need to shut him down, keep him off the bases, and hopefully he doesn't catch many hits.
Yeah, don't hit anything to him. Did you see that home run the other night? I mean, that was a 9-iron.
Wasn't a bad pitch.
That was a pitch out of the zone by 4 inches.
That ball went right into his swing too, man. Oh my gosh. Blowing in like that, oh!
I love the guy. But I think he's electric.
Yeah, he's a superstar. But I don't want him to do good against us at all. I could care less what he does against anybody else, but I don't want him doing good against us for sure. But I mean, he's good. I mean, you're not doing anything wrong by admitting that the guy is it's a player, man. It's a ball player.
Well, you know, he wears a Cubs jersey. He's a little wild, and he's a little off the charts. So people are gonna not like him, which is whatever. To each their own.
And he's from the homeland.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Speaking of that,
he's representing our island too. So
they had the games in Puerto Rico, Minnesota versus Cleveland.
Oh, electric, huh?
Pretty cool stuff, man. It was it's funny. They were talking about the game last night, and they're in like the 14th inning, and they're talking about the game going long and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I thought the announcer did a great job. He said, listen, man, let me tell you something about Puerto Rico. They love baseball here. They love, love, love baseball. You could tell them right now you're going to play 20 innings and nobody would leave. He's like, they want more. They want more. So you had to be proud seeing that.
Oh, I was so proud. And they saw three games instead of two with that 16-inning game. But I'm going to tell you what, man. I played against the Expos. I think it was 2003. And holy crap, I hit a home run. And I mean, it was nothing like it. I got a good series there against the Expos. I hit a home run to left. I mean, the whole stadium wanted to just drop, man. I will never, ever forget. I mean, just like Lindor's. You know, I don't know if you guys saw the replay or the game. I mean, that stadium wanted to break down and go to the field and hug this guy. That's the way I felt, man. It was super awesome. And more crazy, my cousin cut the ball in left field.
Yeah, I saw that post of yours. Yeah, that was awesome.
Well,
that was crazy.
But according to your book, you're like almost related to everybody in Puerto Rico.
My DNA test, huh?
Exactly.
Hey, I'm doing my DNA test, guys, by the way. So pretty soon you'll find out if I'm Chinese or...
oh, you're doing that,
If I'm Hawaiian or, you know, or Iran,
yeah.
Iraqi or...
Maybe that's
why, whatever.
Maybe that's a Twitter poll question, you know, of the
I'm
week
from
here.
Turkish, bro.
He's from Turkey.
Well, speaking of the
just call me a jive turkey.
Hey, speaking of Twitter poll, it's coming back. Our Twitter poll, the show is coming back. Thanks to, and you're going to love this, BMO. So are you, Steve? We've got a new partner, Adam's Smokehouse.
Oh.
Barbecue, baby.
Adam's Smokehouse,
baby. Barbecue. I know you've been waiting for it. I told you. I know you needed your barbecue fix when you come in town. Hey, look, we love Pappy's, but Adam's Smokehouse has stepped up and says, hey, I want to be a part of your show. They are taking over the Twitter poll, folks. Hey. So the Twitter poll is coming. Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
What time is it here, man? Yeah. It is past my lunchtime, Dad.
So, yes, we'll be bringing back the Twitter poll, and thanks to Adam Smokehouse for jumping on board. They do some stuff with the Blues NHL podcast, and now the Blues season's over. They wanted to continue, so they wanted to do something with the Cardinals. So special thanks to them as well.
Where's that located? I haven't been there yet.
It's on Watson, I believe. The day I went over there, I'll look it up. But the Twitter poll become, man, we could come up with some good Twitter polls right now. I mean, there's so much going on that some fans are, you know, like, and again, I got no problem if you wanted to see Tyler O'Neill play today. I want to preface this by saying that. Okay. Yeah, 2819 Watson Road. I got no problem with it whatsoever. None, zero, right? But it's, I don't know that it's worth having a hissy fit over, and that's just kind of my thoughts on it.
I just, you know, I think we've gone down this road. I just, in my opinion, it doesn't make sense to throw him in to a game the first day he gets called up when you still have Bader out there who's performing well. I don't think you've seen anybody else after having a day off yesterday. I just think you keep going with what you have, and hopefully he gets an at-bat. And I wouldn't mind seeing that all of a sudden you get, hopefully we're up by four or five. It gets late in the game, and the kid gets his debut with us at that point.
Well, I'm excited about it. And like I said,
didn't I say we were going to go 2-0 on this road trip?
I think you and Benji both said we were going to go undefeated.
You know what? You know what I'm excited about, guys? I think it's if we can win, find a way to win this game, and we got the Reds coming to our place with our guns coming in and pitching. I mean, you have to be excited about that. We run right now at 10-7, And if we can find a way to get our away from Chicago with this win today, I know we won the last game, but with this win today, 11-7, and you play 3 at home against the Reds, doesn't that look good? I'm excited for that.
Yeah, well, that's the question. So what's the locker room like from the athlete's position? You know, you'll have that 7-game streak or 8-game, whatever it is, 6 games after you do that, 4 against Cincy, 2 against the Cubs, go back against Cincy at home. I mean, who's talking, who's saying what? Because somebody's got to say, hey, guys, this is a big series, but or we just took 2 from Chicago, but we got to take these next 3. What's that talk like?
I think it's in the hitters meeting and the pitching meeting is most where it happens because everybody's together at one group and you can touch them all instead of 1 or 2 guys. So I think that's when it happens. Usually it comes from the catcher or Wainwright, in this case, being the veteran pitching. It will be set. It will be set. So they will say it. It's like, hey, man, if we can come up with this win today, and then Cincinnati, we have a little meeting, and we can say, hey, man, we got an opportunity here to win all these games, and I mean, we got a high percentage of winning these games. Let's go at it. I mean, but it will be set. Somebody will say something about it.
Okay, so it's not just an unwritten thing. Somebody's going to stand up and say, listen here, guys, it's time to, you know, knuckle down and get another sweep here. Let's go, right?
Yeah, they'll say it. They'll say it, but it's more likely to be in the meetings, you know, not necessarily like in the clubhouse and one guy just stand up and say something like that. That don't happen anymore. It did happen when I was playing, but it doesn't happen anymore. I think it happens in the pitching's meeting and the batter's meeting because they're all together, right? They're all meeting, so they take advantage of that. And it'll happen, man. Seriously, think about it. 10-7 right now. It's early, but I'd rather start 10-7 than 7-10. So 10-7, and then you got Chicago today, which is a huge game if we can come up with a win. And then you got Cincinnati. Doesn't mean we're going to win Cincinnati all games or anything. It's just that we play them good. We just play them. We saw their pitching. We hit them good. So we have a better chance to win him too. But it doesn't mean we will win. I want people to understand. I'm not saying it's for sure, but we have a good chance to win him. So you put yourself in a really, really good spot if you can do that.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, a focus on today's game is going to be what happens now every time Lester pitches, and that's his quote-unquote inability to throw the ball to first base. You know, I have 2 things on this. Number one, I would expect a couple of guys on the team maybe to bunt a little bit today, especially if Lester gets rolling, because he – can do that. Lester can get rolling where he's almost unhittable. Now he's older, and I don't know if he's as good as he has been, but you know, he was awfully good.
He's going through the same as Wainwright.
Yeah. But the other thing is, and I was going to ask you about this because I think people, you know, like we see things happen at first base. I saw it happen last year to Tommy Pham. Everybody was on Tommy last year when he got picked off by Lester. He had a massive lead. I'm of the belief the problem is when your lead's that big, you can't tell me as a baseball player, you're not sitting out there going, I can't believe I'm this far off the bag. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And it's not approached as the same as when you take a standard base-stealing lead and get a jump. That's what kind of – now, if you want to take an extra step, that's fine. But do you remember – and, Steve, am I crazy?
You're 100% correct.
He was 5 more feet –
it's
at least
without a doubt I am on board with this. It is a short, in my opinion, how I would coach it. It would be a half a step shorter and a one-way lead going that direction, because even if you're a little bit shorter with if Lester steps off, you can still make a false move and get back in time, and he's not even going to throw over.
And what we know is fundamentals of baseball. When a left-handed pitcher's on the mound, if you are not stealing, your first move when he moves his front foot is a lean back towards the bag in case he throws over. When he goes home, you take your secondary. In the instant with Lester, this is what I don't understand about this. I would take a normal lead. I would take a base stealer's lead. I absolutely would. The only difference is it's like a straight steal. The second he flinches, I'm gone. because he's chances are 99.9% he is not throwing it over there. And if he does, he might throw it in the crowd.
So he's quick too to the plate, which helps him.
And Contreras anyway, is awesome.
I'm with you guys that I would take a half or close to a full step leaning towards bait, towards second, knowing that he ain't going to throw. I will never do what Tommy Pham did. That was just too extreme, and you will never see that again. But he'll learn from that. But just taking almost one extra step, you're still safe in that position. You know what I'm saying? So there's no need to take that extra way wire, you know, going crazy for that. And if you're gonna go, let's go. But just don't forget that you have to remember, he has a catcher that can fire that ball to second base. It's not like he has somebody, a backup guy or somebody that can even get the ball out there. No, he has a catcher that can fireball that ball out to second base, man. He ain't no joke. And Contreras. So, Lester could be really quick to the plate most of the time. So it's not like he's lifting his leg and being so slow to the plate, too. So it doesn't work that easy. He can throw the first, but he does the other things right, so it keeps those guys from going.
Yeah, I think the hardest part of base stealing that we don't realize is that even if you're a base stealer, A, you have to be cognizant of the throwover. And that, I mean, we're talking about a tenth of a second that you gain by knowing that he's probably not throwing over. The confidence on the first move flinch to go, it helps a guy. Now, you got to be a good base stealer. I mean, not just any Joe Schmo, to your point. You know, a regular guy is probably, you know, if he thinks he's just going to walk over there and steal because Lester can't throw to first base, he is quick to the plate. We've talked about Contreras. I'm talking about I'm talking about a guy that is a base stealing threat. There is an advantage there. I just don't see it in taking an extra 5 feet. I just think it's silly because hell, he can flip the ball over there like he did to Pham. Just flip it over there.
Yeah, you don't have to do that. You're right. You don't have to do that. You just go maybe a half or maybe one extra step, and you'll be fine. Just stand there and try to pick up his leg and go if you want to go. But like you said, you better be making it on time, man, because he's going to go quick to the plate. And not only that, that catcher that they have behind the plate has a freaking cannon himself. So you better get a good jump, and hopefully it's a slider or a curveball. You know what, guys, that's one of the things that I don't see anymore. Guys being smart on the bases, they don't run on curveballs. They don't run on fastball. On changeups. I see guys being thrown off the thrown out at second base on fastballs, and I'm like, dude, if you're gonna be a stealer, the first thing that has to be in your mind should be, when is this guy gonna throw a changeup? When is this guy gonna throw a slider? When is this guy gonna throw a curveball? Where I can get a couple more steps and gain a couple more steps toward the bag and maybe be safe. I don't see that often. I don't know about you guys, but I don't see that. I just see guys going and thinking, okay, all out, I'm selling out. It's like the home run. I'm selling out, and that's it. If he throws me a slider, it's not about taking it. I'm just swinging over the top of it because I'm selling out. I think that's what they're doing in the bases, man.
Last question for you, Benji, before we go, and I'll get Steve's thought on it as well. Were you happy with the change in the rotation, the way they did this to get Weaver on the mound in Chicago and have Waka pitch at home instead? Steve, I'll start with you. Did you think it was the right move?
Yeah, and I don't care what the reason is for it. You know, I know that Matheny came out and said, well, you know, Waka and Wainwright, same body, same frame, same over the top. You know, and he kind of bullshitted a little bit about the curveball or the aspect of it. And we know Waka's fastball changeup pitcher. I really don't care, and I know a lot of people are bent out of shape on, oh, he's not telling us the truth. I mean, he's making up this crap.
When they want him to say what they want to hear.
Yeah, come on. I mean, these guys aren't going to tell you the truth. It's not part of it. You don't deserve to know. You shouldn't be privy to that information. If you want to be privy to that, you better have a best friend's college roommate's boyfriend's girlfriend's sister-in-law that knows somebody. That's how you're privy.
Or a brother that plays in your team.
Well, hey, listen. Hey,
so he's got some insight here.
You know, the one thing that Matheny does that drives fans crazy is he takes bullets for his guys. Yeah. He does. It drives people crazy. They want him to stand up there and bitch and complain when a guy sucks or when a guy makes a mistake or a guy, you know, he takes those bullets. But let me tell you something. And Benji, you played in the league. You played for Socha, I know, and you played for Boach. I mean, these guys take bullets for their guys, do they not?
All the time. Every single day they take bullets. Every single day. Just know that. They're not going to come out and say what you guys, what these people want to know. No, that doesn't happen. They have their guys' backs. They're going to say what they want. I mean, what it is in their minds without hurting your own players. That's what you're going to hear about anything that happens in the league or anything that happens in the team. He's going to have to. He has to defend his players. That's it. That's what the bottom line is.
Well, I don't mind the pitching change. You know, whatever the reason is, it doesn't really matter. Weaver's on full rest. Waka will be full rest plus one or plus two, however that math works out. But at the end of the day, he's the manager, and I tell you what, if Weaver gets lit up tonight, everybody will be calling for Matheny's head, and if Weaver goes out there and pitches for a gym, it'll be crickets from those people, and the people that don't mind the change be like, see, I told you, it was a good move.
Yeah. Let them say it. But, hey, listen, who gives you the better shot to win against the Cubs? Be honest. It's Weaver. So why – I don't see anything wrong. Move Weaver to the Cubs and then walk at home against the Reds, which – maybe he can find confidence out of this game and keep rolling.
Right.
I don't see anything wrong. If you go to the Cubs and you put Waka in, and if he had a tough game, he's going to keep losing confidence. So you have to do – yeah, I mean, Weaver would be better against the Cubs because he's pitching well, and then Waka's not pitching that well, so he'd be better against the Reds. So I don't see the whole deal about
it. Well, that's what the Joe fan wants to hear, is they want to hear Matheny say – well, Weaver's better than Waka right now, so we're going to pitch Weaver. But Matheny didn't say that. He came up with a BS line about, well, same arm slot, same angle, same height, same body frame. We're going to give him something different because Weaver throws a little bit three-quarter. You know, the fans want Matheny to throw Waka under the bus instead of what Matheny did. And that's not going to happen. Read between the lines, do whatever you want, formulate your own opinion. But at the end of the day, Matheny said the right things, and hopefully the change in the rotation ends up being the right move.
Yes, it's not going to happen. The managers will never throw anybody under the bus, and if he does, he should be fired because this is your team. You should never have that problem of throwing somebody under the bus or anything like that. I mean – well, I think it should never happen.
Well, Jimbo used to do it with the 8-year-old kids. He used to say, he used to look at the parents and he used to say, hey, I can't help it. Your son can't hit off of a tee, and he's hitting it right to the second baseman, the easiest throw. I keep telling him to hit it to the third baseman, but he won't do it.
We have a coach here, guys. We have a coach in high school here, which I'm not going to mention names, but the guy that he's a good friend of mine here has his kids there in the same high school, and the coach makes a meeting on after the game, and he blames each player that has something to do with the loss. Can you believe that? I would be so out of there so fast and in a hurry, man. I'll be like gone. These guys stands up there and say, hey man, hey DJ, today's game is because we lost because of you, man. You didn't play well. You know, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. We lost because of you. What? Heck no. We have guys like that in high school, dude. I was laughing, but I didn't want to laugh. But I was laughing like, holy crap. I mean, that guy. So So guess what? He lost six guys that next year don't want to play for him. So that's what's going to end up happening. Nobody wants to play for him, and the school's not going to have baseball anymore as long as he's there, right?
Well, and that's, you know, and that's what, you know, that's fans. What do fans want to say? I don't care. They're professionals. They can take it. That's what they want to say. You know, they should be accountable. It's like, okay. Seriously, that's how it goes. I don't know. It's fine. I get it. I'm no different than anybody else. I want
be accountable without the throwing under the bus.
That's right. People that think they're not accountable behind closed doors are probably a little misinformed. Would you not agree with that statement, Benji? I mean, I know you loved playing for Boach. I know you loved playing for Socia. But when you were horseshit, they probably held you accountable behind closed doors, did they not?
Heck yeah, they did. And I was horse crap most of my career, so I was under the microscope, buddy. No, but they do. And we know, we understand. We're not dumb. So the people that don't think they don't ask you to step up and do your thing, they're crazy. They always do. I mean, with calling you into the office, hey man, what's going on, man? What's going on? What's worrying you? What are you doing? How you feeling? Are you feeling okay? Are you hurting? Come on, because we got to pick it up, man. We got to pick it up. And then they go every player like that, but they don't go into the media and throw you under the bus. They have their own meetings. They're over there talking to each other, and, you know, that's what they have to do.
Well, again, I think there's a faction of fans that think that doesn't go on down at Busch Stadium. I think they think if you're Mike's guy, he doesn't give a shit what you do, and I couldn't disagree more.
They might be Cup fan then.
Well, again, good stuff as always. I know we appreciate you joining us. It's time for us to get rolling and head somewhere. And
hey, patios, baby.
Patios tomorrow for all of our fans. I know Benji's excited about being there. We're going to have some lunch tomorrow at Patios, 12 to 2. Don't forget, again, must be present to win. When you show up, we'll be set up on stage. Come on up. Get yourself signed up for the prizes for the day, the autographed Yachty stuff, autographed Benji stuff. Everybody that registers between our three trips there over the course of this month will be registered for the green seats that we're going to give away, a set of four green seats valued at, what are green seats these days?
About a lot of money.
Well, they're almost $400 a seat now, so we're looking at almost $1,500. I think it's about $1,500 for a set these days. So make sure that you get registered for those as well. It's an experience like no other to sit in the green seats, but you got to be present. So make sure you guys are there tomorrow from 12 to 2 at Patios. Happy to have everybody there. Looking forward. Josh Potter just sent me something from Arch City Media. They will be there. Of course, Benji Molina will be there as well, and my co-host Steve Flowers. One more time, I want to remind everybody, check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. That's where you can subscribe to the show. Find us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show, Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Type it in, like our Facebook page, invite your friends to like it as well. Special thanks to lineupmedia.fm, home of Yo Radio. That is the Yo Radio is actually the one bringing us the green seat. So make sure you check out Yo Radio, newest internet radio sensation. You guys are going to love it, I promise you. Brian Croc, Andrew Allen, thank you. To our sponsors, InnovativeCompanies.com, Innovative Construction, Heating and Cooling and Electric. Hey, I heard from Stephanie Green yesterday. Okay, guys, plumbing. The plumbing company is up and running now. They are your one-stop shop for everything you need, whether it's residential, commercial, or industrial. Construction team, heating and cooling team, electric team, and now the plumbing team. InnovativeCompanies.com, Randy Green, 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Special thanks to them for their continued support. I can't help but mention Adam's Smokehouse on board now. And as the man said, you got to have your barbecue. And I delivered for my man Benji. I just sent out the first Twitter poll. What shall he eat in his first attempt at Adam's Smokehouse? Make sure you guys register for that as well. Arlington Greens, make sure you check it out. The weather's turning, folks. If you want to get some golf in, I know we're going to go down and play
Saturday.
Some golf with Mark Marcuso. We'll see him this weekend, one of the tournaments. Fabulous course. It'll be in great shape, even though the weather hasn't been great. I look for you guys out at Arlington Greens with our good friend Mark Marcuso. We're going to have Mark back on the show. I'm going to try to get him to come over to Patios with us tomorrow. Most of the people in the area are familiar with it. If you're not, it's the hidden gem on the Illinois side, folks, Arlington Greens. For everybody here at Two Birds on a Bat, we leave you with Let's Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.